Okay, so tonight we're taking a deep dive into something that's up there every night, but we don't always think too much about it,
Right.
the moon, or more specifically, the phases of the moon, and how those phases actually have a real impact on things here on Earth.
Yeah, and not just like the tides, which everyone knows about.
Exactly. I mean, we're talking about plants, animals, even us, our sleep, maybe our moods, all kinds of stuff.
And for this deep dive, we've got some pretty amazing research to work with.
We do this project called Project Alpha, and they have been looking at the moon's influence, especially for figuring out how to make agriculture more sustainable.
And really connecting what people have known for centuries, like farmers planting by the moon, to what science is discovering now.
It's really cool stuff. So for everyone listening, get ready. This deep dive is going to take us from the basics of the moon's phases to the surprising ways they affect life here on Earth.
We'll be talking about how the moon's gravity works, what those eight moon phases actually are, how they affect the tides.
And then we'll dig into the plant world, how those phases might influence planting and harvesting.
We'll even touch on the moon's role in the whole ecological picture, like animal behavior and even biodynamic farming.
So let's start with the basics, like what causes those different phases of the moon that we see?
Well, the moon takes about 29 and a half days to go all the way around the Earth. That's its orbit.
Right, a lunar month.
And as it's orbiting, the angle at which the sun's light hits it is constantly changing.
So we're seeing different portions of the illuminated half.
Exactly. And that creates those distinct phases that we can see from down here. It's like, if you had a ball in a spotlight, you move the ball around, you see different amounts of light and shadow.
I get it. Okay, so Project Alpha breaks down those eight phases. We start with the new moon.
Right. That's when the moon's basically invisible. It's between the Earth and the sun, so that side facing us isn't getting any direct sunlight.
0% eliminated.
Yep. And then, as the moon moves along in its orbit, we start to see a sliver of light, the
Yeah.
waxing crescent.
That's on the right side,
Well,
right?
it's like a thin smile in the sky. That goes from like 1% illumination up to just under 50.
Then we hit the first quarter moon,
Half lit, right side.
50% illuminated.
Yep. Then comes the waxing gibbous moon. More and more of the moon is lit up.
So from 51% up to 99%, getting closer and closer to full.
And then, boom, the full moon. 100%
Yeah.
illuminated. The Earth is between the sun and the moon, so we see the entire illuminated half.
That's the big one everyone always talks about.
But the cycle keeps going. After the full moon, the light starts to decrease on the left side this time. That's the waning gibbous.
Back down from 99% to 51.
And then we reach the last quarter moon.
Again, half lit, but this time it's the left side.
Exactly. And finally, that light dwindles down to a thin crescent again, the waning crescent, on the left side this time. And then it disappears again into the next new moon.
So it's a continuous cycle, always changing.
It is a beautiful celestial dance. And really, understanding this cycle, these phases, is key to understanding how the moon affects everything else we're going to talk about.
Okay, so let's talk about the effects. And probably the most obvious one is the tides.
Right. Project Alpha explains it really well. Basically, the moon's gravity pulls on the water in the oceans.
Creating a bulge on the side of Earth closest to the moon.
Yep. And there's actually another bulge on the opposite side, too, because of inertia. It's kind of like the Earth is being pulled away from the water on that side.
So as the Earth rotates, different parts of the planet pass through these bulges. That's what causes the high tides.
And the low tides happen in between those bulges.
So Project Alpha talks about something called spring tides.
Yeah, those are the really strong tides, highest highs and lowest lows.
And they happen during the new moon and the full moon. Why is that?
Because that's when the sun, the Earth, and the moon are all in line.
So the gravitational forces of the sun and the moon are combined.
Exactly. They're both pulling in the same direction, so the effect on the tides is amplified.
But during the first and last quarter moons, we get what are called neap tides.
Right, and those are the weakest tides. The sun and the moon are at a right angle to each other with respect to the Earth.
So their gravitational forces are sort of working against each other.
Yeah, they're pulling in different directions, so the effect on the tides is reduced.
So this is kind of blowing my mind. Project Alpha says there's even something called atmospheric tides.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, tides in the air.
Well, the moon's gravity does pull on the atmosphere, too, just like it pulls on the oceans. But the effect is much smaller.
So not something we'd really notice.
Not really. The sun's heat and the Earth's rotation have a much bigger impact on our weather.
Okay, that makes sense. Now, Project Alpha also talks about how the moon helps stabilize the Earth's tilt.
Right. This is actually super important.
Why is that?
Well, you know how the Earth is tilted on its axis? That's what gives us our seasons. But without the moon's gravity, that tilt would wobble a lot more.
So the moon acts like a stabilizer.
Exactly. And that stabilization is what keeps our climate relatively stable over long periods of time. You know, without those wild swings in temperature, life on Earth can thrive.
So the moon plays a huge role in making Earth habitable.
It really does. It's more than just a pretty light in the sky.
Okay, let's move on to plants. This is where things get really interesting. Project Alpha talks about how different phases of the moon are traditionally associated with different types of planting.
Right. So there's this idea that the waxing moon, from new moon to full moon, is a good time for planting things that grow above ground.
Like tomatoes, leafy greens, things like that.
Yeah, because during this phase, the moon's gravity is thought to be pulling water and nutrients upwards in the plants.
So it's like an upward flow of energy?
Exactly. And that would make sense, right?
Yeah.
As the moon is getting fuller, the plants are focusing on growing taller, bushier, producing fruit.
Okay, but then during the waning moon, from full moon back to new moon, that's when you want to plant things that grow below ground.
Right, like root vegetables. Think potatoes, carrots, onions.
Because the energy is flowing downward.
Exactly. So it's a good time for those roots to really establish themselves and grow deeper. And some people believe that the gravitational pull of the moon is actually stronger during this phase, which could help those roots grow bigger.
And Project Alpha even talks about how the moon's gravity might influence sap flow in plants.
Right, just like the tides. There could be a sort of internal tide happening within the plants. And when the moon is full, that sap is thought to rise more strongly, delivering nutrients to the leaves and fruits.
And the full moon is also said to be a trigger for flowering and fruiting in some plants.
That's right. For some species, that extra light from the full moon can be a signal to start the reproductive process.
It's like the moon is a gardener's helper.
In a way, it is.
Okay, let's talk about humans. This is where the science gets a bit more tricky.
It does. There's a lot of folklore surrounding the moon and human behavior.
And Project Alpha actually addresses some of those beliefs. Like, there's this idea that people are more restless or emotional during a full moon.
Right. You hear stories about more crime, more accidents, more people acting strangely. But the scientific evidence for this is mixed.
Right. Some studies have shown a slight increase in certain things, like anxiety, but the results aren't always consistent.
And it's hard to say for sure if it's really the moon causing those things, or if it's just coincidence, or even just the power of suggestion.
If you believe it, you might be more likely to see it.
Exactly. But Project Alpha also talks about sleep. There's some evidence that melatonin production, which helps us sleep, might be reduced during a full moon.
So people might have a harder time falling asleep or staying asleep?
Possibly. And that could be because of the increased light at night, which can mess with our circadian rhythms.
Our internal clock.
Exactly. And then there's the whole connection between the moon and the menstrual cycle.
Yeah, the average menstrual cycle is about the same length as a lunar month, 29 and a half days.
Right. And while not everyone experiences this, some people do find that their cycles seem to sync up with the moon.
But the science behind that is still a bit of a mystery.
It is. There are a lot of theories, but we don't know for sure if there's a direct biological connection.
So it seems like there's still a lot we don't know about how the moon affects us humans.
Definitely. There's a lot more research to be done.
Yeah.
But it's fascinating to think about how we might be connected to those lunar cycles.
Okay, let's move on to the bigger picture. Project Alpha also looks at how the moon affects Earth's ecology, starting with animal behavior.
Right. And one of the clearest examples is with nocturnal animals.
Animals that are active at night.
Exactly. The full moon makes a big difference for them.
Because it's brighter.
Yeah. So for predators like lions, it's harder for them to sneak up on their prey.
They're less stealthy.
Right. But for prey animals, that extra light helps them see danger coming. So they might be more cautious, change their behavior to avoid predators.
It's like the moon is tilting the scales in the predator-prey relationship.
In a way, it is. And Project Alpha also talks about this amazing thing with coral reefs.
Coral spawning?
Yeah. Many coral species synchronize their spawning with the full moon.
So they all release their eggs and sperm at the same time?
Exactly. And that's triggered by the lunar light and the gravitational forces. It's like a massive underwater party, all timed to the moon.
It's incredible. And speaking of timing things to the moon, Project Alpha also talks about biodynamic farming.
Right. This is a type of farming that takes into account all sorts of natural rhythms, including the cycles of the moon.
So it's about working with nature, not against it.
Exactly. Biodynamic farmers believe that aligning their activities with the moon's phases can help them grow healthier crops and improve the soil.
So they might plant certain crops during the waxing moon, others during the waning moon?
Right. Like we talked about earlier, the waxing moon is thought to be good for things that grow above ground, like tomatoes and lettuce. And the waning moon is better for root vegetables.
So it's all about harnessing that lunar energy.
In a way, it is. It's about recognizing that the moon is a powerful force that we can work with to create a more sustainable and balanced ecosystem.
Okay, so let's talk about the science behind all of this. We've mentioned gravity a lot.
Yeah, gravity is definitely a key player here. It's what causes the tides, and it also affects the movement of fluids in plants and even in us, though it's subtler in living things.
And Project Alpha points out that the moon's gravitational pull is strongest during the new moon and the full moon?
Right, because that's when the sun and the moon are aligned, so their forces combine. And this could explain why there's this idea that sap flow in plants is stronger during the full moon, helping those above-ground crops grow.
And then there's the effect of light.
Yeah, that's the other big factor. The amount of light from the moon changes throughout its cycle.
And that affects everything from animal behavior to plant growth.
Exactly. The full moon can trigger flowering in some plants, and it can make it harder for predators to hunt at night. It even affects our own sleep cycles.
Our circadian rhythms.
Exactly. So really, the moon is influencing life on Earth in so many ways.
It's more than just a pretty face.
It really is. And Project Alpha has done a great job of bringing all of this research together.
It's been a fascinating deep dive.
It has. And it really makes you appreciate the interconnectedness of everything on our planet.
And beyond. I mean, the moon is this celestial body that's been there for billions of years, and it's still shaping our world today.
And we're just beginning to understand how deep that influence runs.
So for you listening, I hope this deep dive has sparked your curiosity about the moon and its phases. And maybe it's even inspired you to pay a little more attention to the night sky.
And think about how those lunar cycles might be affecting your own life, even in subtle ways.
Thanks for joining us on this journey, and keep looking up.
There's
always more to discover.